Get it right. Knock on wood if you're with me. That's big.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Oh, hi and hello, and knock on wood, why don't you? If you're ready for football season, boy, that was weird, and it got annoying. They didn't do him any favors by cutting it into a montage of about 20 examples of John Gruden having his guys knock on wood. Don't necessarily know that the Raiders players are all that into it themselves. We have much to get to. Hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. We are in Studio 66, ready to roll to kibitz about the fast-approaching NFL regular season kickoff. As a matter of fact, at the time of this recording, we're exactly 1 week away from that kickoff. Three words for that, ooh, la, and la. And of course, when you say ooh, la, and la, that makes me think of Zaxby's, the home for famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some of those delicious treats, ASA and P. Listen, I pull the curtain back. You know, we don't jive. You know, no jive. It hangs on the wall here in 66. We thought we were going to be talking with longtime pal Will Brinson and doing our annual awful NFC South QB rankings. I say awful because we're never right. We put our heads together and try and rank them 1 through 4 to see who's going to be the best, have the best season. And we have a real knack for never coming anywhere close to it. I think Brinson last year did a little bit better than I did, but we had some technical difficulties. So we went to the bullpen. I don't know if he knows what that means, but all the way from London, England, there he is seated to my immediate left. One of my favorite sights here at NFL Media at the Nerve Center out here on the West Coast. It's Handsome Hank.
We don't have time.
No, you get not the whole
today.
Thing.
No, not today.
You get the whole thing.
The NFL season kicks off in a week, Dave. It's urgent.
He's handsome. You're right. We are in a hurry. But let's not jive. You're doing a podcast appearance later today. That's why you have to hurry, right?
Not at all.
Really?
No.
My guy, Anthony Wood.
The bullpen in a sport that I love is called the 12th man in cricket. I'm the extra guy.
Is that right?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
The 12th man. So
yeah,
it's 11
cricketers.
11
guys, but then if you need an extra guy, you bring on your 12th man.
And then somebody comes out?
Well, it would only happen if someone was injured.
Fun. I guess. I muzzle tub on the ashes or whatever just happened.
Thank you very much.
Was it good?
I would say a top five sporting moment of my lifetime happened last summer.
No way.
When Ben Stokes, from a position of zero hope, won a game against Australia. I mean, truly one of the most remarkable sporting things I've ever watched.
Between your tweets on cricket and Greg Rosenthal's tennis updates, you know, I feel like you guys are keeping me in touch.
You're becoming more worldly.
Yeah, I want to know about all the sports out there, not just about pro football. And by the way, college football this weekend, we have two ranked teams playing, right? Oregon and Auburn are hooking
that's
up.
That's a big one.
That's the game
that's
of the weekend. It doesn't start. I always talk about the preseason in football. I get seduced and I start watching it for a quarter and I get overexcited about some guys and whatever. But really, football season arrives for me when Miami and Florida hooking up last week was everything. That was the signal that football season was
arrived.
Actually now here. And then that got weird because Andrew Luck. And speaking of Andrew Luck and that story and our reaction to it, I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go back and listen to our earlier podcast from this week. Matt Money Smith joined Handsome and myself to kibitz about that. And Eddie Spaghetti was along as usual behind the glass. And we yapped about Andrew Luck. I continue to say, not that this is the most important takeaway necessarily, but I continue to be struck by the people who unsolicited are announcing, just so you know what football players go through. Is there anyone who watches football in 2019 who doesn't know that there's a physical toll for playing football? But the media continues to let us know. Everybody up on Mount Pius. And the other thing I keep saying, much as the Handsome and Money disagree with me about this, If this had been Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers, the reaction would be quite different than the one to Andrew Luck, who must be only genuflected to for his courage and his greatness in this difficult moment, a fortnight before the season kicks off. You can just continue to make eyes.
Only because the first time you mentioned it, you said Cam Newton, and now you're adding those other guys.
I have added those guys, yes.
I think...
to make my point, because people are accusing me, oh, you're race baiting.
I stand by what I said earlier in the week. I think all of those guys would have the same thing. I do think one of the... as we discussed before on the show, football has become more accessible to the average fan because of social media and because, you know, we get taken behind the scenes by Hard Knocks or All or Nothing, all these awesome shows that really let us in the game. The one area that there is no coverage of them is still, I think, a mystery to fans what is it like to rehab from an injury? I think there were a couple of times that people followed maybe Adrian Peterson or someone coming back from an injury, but it is like truly kind of what goes into rehab.
You're right about that. It's also tedious.
I'm sure it's the repetition. I don't want to watch it necessarily.
On the other hand, it's also how the sausage is made. And when you see those, you know, like, oh, he just had knee surgery, we have to check out the progress he's made. And then they show the stitches and everything else. I are from sturdy stock because we watched The Nick when it was on a couple of years ago.
I never watched that. You like?
Oh no, that was me and Money who liked The Nick. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The one thing actually, I guess that did show it a little bit was in All or Nothing this year. If you watched that one with the Panthers, which I loved, by the way, but when Greg Olsen had been going through his foot injury and then he came back and then it happened again, you just saw this look on his face of like, oh God, I did all that work and now I've got to do it all over again.
I think that
kind of frustration, I guess, is a tiny, tiny window into what Andrew Luck.
Imagine how bleak it would feel. I mean, it's how I would feel every year around about this time when it was time to go back to school. The pit in my belly, like it starts and we're right at the front edge of it. It's sort of like when you get on the treadmill and you're going to run for
I've still got 8 minutes to go.
I mean, the most daunting is for real, the head games that you play. The thing I never understand about long distance runners is it's so boring to me to do for 30 minutes or for 40 minutes, not obviously looking at me.
I haven't been doing it quite some time.
But even at the best of it, these people who look forward to the workouts, I just can't relate to. I hate it. And the trick to getting over the hump and getting past the worst of it, which is the start, is you just can't focus on like how much time you have left. Because then that, and I think if you were like, oh, I think I really just messed my knee up. Not only the uncertainty, probably you can reasonably say, okay, doctors in this day and age will probably be able to fix me, but it must just be so overwhelming to think if you've already been hurt, like, oh my God, I got to go through that again. And I'm just now, this is the very start of a miserable experience. That is a tear. That's the look that washes over those guys' faces do that, which it does require a certain amount of then courage to summon the thumbs up and everything like that. Like, oh, come on, guys, we'll go win this game. All that kind of stuff. I would be like the guys who just weep. I would just be weeping like, you know what I have to do now? This is going to stink. I hate this.
I've got to go to rehab every day.
Handsome, I wanted to tell Will Brinson, and I'm going to tell you about it. He took a pass at what-ifing Andrew Luck in some situations.
How do you feel about
here.
That? I mean, like, let's be honest. Bill Brinson, first of all, hung up on you midway through a call that you were trying to have. And then secondly, yesterday when I saw that, he did some kind of what if, which, you know, I understand is copyrighted to Damashek.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
How are you feeling about your... I mean, let's assume that Brinson doesn't listen to this show because he would only listen if he was on it.
No, he tipped his hat to me, one, and two, not that that's a requirement. and the more important element here is, Handsome, I believe people will be very excited to hear this, I think, some segment of Football America and beyond. We're talking about doing something around the 100th year, an expanded variation on the what if, on the NFL. Me and some of my colleagues might be doing something addressing some of these biggest what ifs ever. But let me jump in on this.
Colleagues, can I do that?
I mean, I think now I've got that same bad connection that Brinson had. I can't hear you.
You're going to hang up on me too.
I can't.
Just like he did.
And, But I will. I am finally prepared to tell you the no playoffs for you gaggle of teams. And I want to get into this what if, but quickly, Hard Knocks, your reaction to it this year?
I'm enjoying it overall.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, I find John Gruden to be fascinating.
In what sense fascinating?
Well, just that he could be...
It's funny. It's interesting to watch it. I don't necessarily think find him an intrinsically fascinating human being, but I do. Enjoy like watching the camera like, pointed
the fact
at
that
him.
He has fun. He gets enjoyment out of counting down from 100 in threes, to the extent that then when he's watching his son do whatever that thing was,
MMA,
yeah,
he's doing it again. It's like that clearly is something. Like there's something in his brain that's wrong.
I think he thinks. I say my guess is I think he finds that to be an impressive parlor trick to right. share with as many humans.
What is your impressive and everybody, parlor trick, Dave? Do you have one? This is me setting you up to you ask me the same thing in a second. But
well, on. I mean, I have some interesting abilities. We've gone over them. Obviously, sure. I can order food
but
at a restaurant like nobody else.
We can't do that now. Like, you couldn't just be like, okay, I'll show you something.
I have a weird nasal cavity that allows me to, nothing.
You can store things in it.
Kind of. Really? I listen to this crazy noise I can make with this.
That's interesting.
How about, isn't that crazy?
That
I can
cool.
make a rattle with that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's not your mouth?
No, that's my nose.
Ugh.
I'm just inhaling.
That's weird.
Yeah.
We'll use that as a drop.
What's yours, Hansel?
Oh, thanks for asking, Dave. Mm-hmm. I can recite the alphabet backwards faster than you can recite it forwards.
Is that a real skill? Yeah. Now that's something. I feel like the counting back in threes is not that is
it's not that impressive.
I started to try to do it, and I was like, all right, not
yeah, it's not difficult.
But this sounds difficult, and I'm gonna do A, B, C. You know what? Put a timer to this. Can you do a timer, Spaghetti?
Yeah, I can do it.
Because I think it's more because you could cheat, although you would lose your place and it wouldn't work out necessarily.
What?
If you were doing it, you could cheat your way and just skip letters.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm not a cheat, Dave.
I know, but it won't be as. So I'll do mine as fast as I can. Ready?
Ready.
Your mark.
3, 2, 1, go.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
All right, you got 4.62. This is a solid 40 time.
I shouldn't have rushed. I don't want to put you on the spot. Can you do it that fast?
Faster than that.
You think you're going to be able to do it faster than that?
Let me reset. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
WYXWVUTSRQPOMNLKJRXGFEDCBA.
Wow.
Whoa! Yeah. That was awesome.
He smoked you. 3.57.
Yes! You stink, Gruden. I don't feel like the loser. I think right. it's Gruden.
Yeah,
pulling his lame parlor tricks next to Handsome Hanks. When did you have to do that? Why do you know that?
My grandmother taught me. I'm not sure why she thought this was an essential part of my upbringing, but she could do it, and she taught me to do it. And
that's awesome. I love that. I can't believe that after a decade, I'm only just now learning of this. Good for you.
I mean, it's not something I pull out that often. I actually did it for my kids the other day, and they were like, "What? What is that?"
Really?
Yeah.
And I knew you were going to say
stunning
Zed too. I was waiting for that.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Z. Yeah, that's
what you call the letter
for the Americans among us. Yeah, they don't mm-hmm. call it Z.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what goes on. All right, let's talk a little
Football.
Bit more. Well, about Hard Knocks.
Okay.
You don't find John Gruden to be kind of like the malaprops and the faux intensity.
No, that's what I mean, but that's why I find him interesting.
It sounds complimentary when you say it.
I mean interesting just as a human study. Like, he can lead this group of athletes and everything else, but there's something, I don't know. I won't say that, but there's something about him that I just find it interesting that he's able to do that. And there are, you know, most coaches fit a gruff exterior thing, but you're right. He's kind of, you know, that you feel like it's all pretty false with him.
Do you? Yeah. And you wonder if it's an awareness of the cameras, but you wouldn't think, I don't think it's that.
I think honestly, if you're asking me what it comes down to, it's like, this is a guy that doesn't need to be doing this job. Like he has this 10-year deal, but he's got his TV thing. He's done a lot in the NFL. He's respected as a coach. I don't feel like he's, in his mind, I think he might be in the same place that I am about John Gruden, which is that this is going to end badly.
I loved, I didn't need the focus on, I can't think of the guy's name, the linebacker. His mother was delightful. Cameroonian, was she?
Yeah, she was lovely.
Yeah, I loved her, and that was awesome. That was a great moment on Skype or whatever, the one with me and Brinson that we tried earlier today.
But it hung up on you.
Jason Kabinda, Natalie Kabinda is his mom. Yeah,
Mrs. Kabinda.
Yeah, that was great and everything. But, I mean, where are Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito? Talk about fascinating human studies.
They also have not shown first Josh Jacobs and very little of Cleveland Farrell as well.
The other guy makes up for it, the same.
Yeah, that's
What's
right.
What's his name?
Abram from Miss State. Yeah,
he's great.
And Luke Wilson.
Good.
He's been good.
Luke's a good guy.
Did you know that he was from Canada?
Yeah, I've hung out with him a lot.
How much do we need to hammer the point that Luke Wilson is this fringe guy at this point in his career? Soon to be perhaps a Pittsburgh Steeler, as a matter of fact. You know, if he doesn't make the team, that's
good
one
point.
Of those things that we may see in this next week or so, teams going out to try and get those. Yeah, I love it. Obviously, slickly done. I love that open. I love the marriage of the updated music by Sam Spence. Or actually, the theme song's not by Sam Spence there, but marrying that with the great Sable words of "The Autumn Wind is a Pirate" and hearing Facenda for any reason is exciting for me. But one more thing. Who do you think likes the other better? Derek Carr likes John Gruden more than John likes Derek, or do you think they're kind of tolerate? I mean, kind of.
I think
we're friends out of convenience.
That's one of them. That's a super interesting relationship. It doesn't feel none of that feels very genuine. Either side.
And what must I wish? You know what? I wish David Carr were around this week. By the way, he's catching a lot of grief for saying that he thinks that the Jets are going to win the division over the Patriots.
Yeah.
And he thinks that the Raiders, did he put them into the playoffs?
I believe so.
He's catching some flack nationally
more
for that
would you
stuff.
Say than saying that Joe Montana is not one of the 20 best quarterbacks?
Oh, that was brought up.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, as part of a run part that he's been on in 2019. Right. David Carr's the best.
I love David Carr.
Pipe
when
down,
can we
everybody.
Get him back in here?
We got to do it ASAP. As soon as he's around, we got to get him back in. And then you wonder, and it's why people always say, your lesser angels always, if you ever get fired or you ever want to storm out of a building, your place of business, I'll show you kind of thing. Like, and I will take this place down, scorched earth, the will to scorched earth things, the way Antonio Brown kind of has, the way it comes back to bite you is with this. How much faith can Derek Carr, and in fact, you can tell John Gruden, they're putting a nice face on it, a positive face on it, but like, haha, yeah, good to see you, AB. Hey, don't miss the team flight. Like, you know, like he's already, they're already right on the edge. He's already pushed it so far in a few months that you can tell they're like, yeah, this guy's a kook. We got to deal with him. We got to try to get something for us in part for our own purposes. Obviously, we want to win games, but also it's embarrassing for us making that move. Now it's starting to already like, hey, you know what? Now it seems like we're the ones who got robbed in this trade,
exactly.
That we even were the only dummies in the league that went out and got this guy. So they have to at least get him out on the field and all that. But yeah, that feels it is a weird Waterloo for some national people that they continue to be like, yeah, you know, Roethlisberger, though, you know, there are people out there continuing to do that. Isn't it patently obvious now that one's just a flake whose emotions get the better of him?
I think both of them probably aren't perfect humans.
I agree with that, but Roethlisberger sat down for an interview. I just want to say that Roethlisberger sits down for an interview and says, like, I hope he has a good, healthy year. You know, it hurt the relationship, just kind of owns it, whether that's completely phony or not, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's certainly managed the situation a lot better. But anyway, Handsome, I want to tell you very quickly about what I think could be one of the most fascinating what-ifs that we've seen in a quarter century now. Have you considered if Andrew Luck, we already did this one, yeah, I've tweeted it out, track it down at Damashek, but as an NFL we did probably 5 years ago, but it still is relevant, especially with Andrew Luck hanging it up now. Andrew Luck, if he decided to go back to Stanford, in pursuit of a national championship. Back in the days when there was just when there would just be two teams that would get there. So he goes back to Stanford. If he hadn't, though, if he had come out and the, he would have, he was still the consensus, even with Cam Newton in there, and he had won the Heisman and everything else, it was still perceived by everybody that that Andrew Luck was the guaranteed got to take this guy. So Andrew Luck goes to Carolina. This then means that Cam Newton goes to Denver, who was in need of a quarterback themselves at that time. Now, if that had happened, then Andrew Luck, then Cam Newton would have made the need for Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning in Denver moot.
Well, although the Broncos would have, because that was
that was 2012.
They had signed Peyton before the draft.
I don't know. Spaghetti, can you look that up real fast?
I think they had, because I remember watching it, and there was snow on the ground in Denver at that time. But so the Broncos would have at least had a decision to make between, do we sign Peyton, which I, you know, presumably they'd have still investigated, or do we take this, you know, sure thing in Cam Newton?
Is that the way it went? So in 2012, Peyton signs in advance of that draft. So then that would blow that up, because if I'm wrong.
Let me check. But I think that was.
Wasn't Peyton's first year there the year that they lose to Denver? And isn't that the following season? I could be wrong about
Peyton Manning signed on March 20th, 2012.
March 2012.
So it is before the draft. So you're right. So that blows that up. So
well, it doesn't necessarily, because, I mean, they could have said, you know, our due diligence is we could get Peyton Manning for three more seasons.
So where then? I want to figure this out now. We'll just do it as we're kibitzing here. What? So who then would the Broncos have traded? And more importantly, where does the 2012 NFL draft?
So then. The Redskins obviously pick second because they. Wait, no. This is would be the 2011 draft. That's why we're struggling here.
Wait a second. Andrew Luck goes. He went, and then Robert Griffin.
He went in the 2012, but he would have gone in 2011.
Luck would have been.
Oh right, Cam. Right. I'm sorry. No, so I'm right.
You are right. Yeah. The Broncos pick Cam, second in 2011.
Right. Yeah. Cam would have gone to the Broncos. And then that means that they wouldn't have chased
Peyton. Yeah.
So would the Colts have kept Peyton around in that weird spot? Unlikely. I think they probably would have had Robert Griffin the third. So the Skins would never have had that magical RG3 season. And who knows how things would have played out differently for RG3, a different coach, obviously. Maybe Shanahan not being a factor there. Maybe RG3 wouldn't have been run out there prematurely for that playoff game. And maybe he's still thriving in the NFL. That's another domino that falls. Russell Wilson is drafted in 2012 as well. If Peyton Manning, instead of without a place to go in Denver, instead would have considered, and I know things got sideways between him and the Seahawks, but without Pete Carroll being maybe a little over anxious about things, would have handled that a little bit differently. Maybe Peyton Manning instead goes to Seattle. Another player was his home state of or his college state of Tennessee. Maybe he would have gone to the Nashville Tennessee Titans. Maybe that would have been gone that way. But if he goes to Seattle, Peyton Manning is up there. That means Russell Wilson wouldn't have found a home. They would never have drafted him there. So then that means that he would have gone to Philadelphia, who was reportedly very hot on Russell Wilson as well. And had the Seahawks not taken him in that spot in the third, it would have been the Eagles who would have done it. And then that means they wouldn't have taken Carson Wentz. And I don't know if Russell Wilson takes him to a Super Bowl title, but I don't think anybody in Philadelphia would blow it up based on the way things went with Big Nicky there.
Another team that was interested in Peyton Manning and brought him in was the Miami Dolphins.
Is that right?
Yep.
I don't remember that.
They were in that mix for a period of time. And I think what it came down to was Peyton was like, I don't want to live in Miami.
Oh, really?
South Florida is not for me.
This is, I mean, but if you think about the impact that this has, the ripple effects on quarterbacks and where they landed all over the place, that's a pretty crazy one. And then
that's two pretty big pieces, Cam Newton and Peyton Manning.
And by the way, somebody else, here's another one too, Matt Flynn. There is a footnote in history now, but he would have gone somewhere else and had, I wonder where he would have then signed, he would have been a starter for a year, and I wonder how that would have gotten in the way of other potential starters.
Plus, the 2011 draft is loaded as well. If you add Andrew Luck in that draft and you slide down Cam Newton, everyone, who knows what the players would have won. You had Von Miller, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, and J.J. Watt all go fairly early. All would have been changed as well.
It's the greatest draft in NFL history, the top 12, in terms of like guys that are heading for Canton when they're all done. That would have mucked all that stuff up.
Yeah, Von Miller wouldn't have been a Bronco. He would have been somewhere else. You know, who knows about A.J. Green or Julio Jones? Didn't the Falcons trade
up? So Von Miller, so we could potentially, maybe they still would have been great with Cam Newton as their quarterback instead of Von Miller as their devastating pass rusher, but we don't know that would have gone. You could maybe take away or maybe Cam Newton playing against that Broncos team would have instead been leading that Broncos team to a Super Bowl championship, although the key piece on defense was Von Miller. I guess you could make although the no-fly zone had a big...
It actually can go a step further and potentially involve Baker Mayfield because the Falcons got the 6th pick from Cleveland. They took Julio Jones. But like I said, let's say there's an extra... Because you're adding in Andrew Luck, so they all slide down. Let's just say that maybe Cleveland didn't want to trade out. They thought that maybe Marcel Darius will slide down or A.J. Green will slide down. We don't need to go and trade for Julio Jones. And then you don't know who... You know, maybe Cleveland ends up with another better player. They try to move up for maybe Cam Newton. There's no Baker Mayfield like with them now. Like there's a lot of weird scenarios you could kind of branch off from that.
I might have to investigate this one in full. But like I say, coming up later in the year, I believe we're going to be doing some NFL-related content for you in a more expanded
manner. Great to see. I miss that.
I know. I'd like to do more of those. I'd like to do more. All right, handsome. With no further ado, you ready to get into it now?
No playoffs for you.
Handsome, are you, do you, off the top of your head, can you run through your teams? Backwards, though. You got to do it backwards.
Okay. Hey, can I ask you a question, Dave? Actually, just while because the way I think about this, I was thinking about this morning. Why is the NFL compass screwed? When people think about the NFL, or when we go through teams, the compass goes in the order of the divisions goes east, north, south, west. What's wrong with the NFL's compass?
When we
discuss, like if anyone in a publication, they're writing about it or whatever.
You're right about that.
NFC East, NFC North, NFC South, NFC West. The compass, that's not where the points of the compass go.
You're so right.
What's up with that?
I think it's that's probably the first piece of evidence for people who believe that there's an East Coast bias in sports coverage.
True.
In fact, that's a good point. Yeah. The East, because New York would dominate both of those. Yeah, that's right. And then it always goes,
north,
and if you go
southwest, like none
fine
of
fine if you start
right
east.
Order. Yeah, then you'd go south.
If you go south west, or north, either one, but you can't. But west is always the last one.
Yeah.
I think it probably has to do with start times of games. Is that fair?
I mean, no. It's not that it's not fair, but like when we think about the NFL divisions, it's very specific. No one's decreed this, but it's just how things happen. I don't think it's got to do with start times of games. We could be discussing teams' records or anything, but that's the way that people think.
I laid it out. Did you see I tweeted a few days back? I threw out my
I was gonna
my
tweet
rivalry
this morning,
weeks.
And then I was just like, I don't know how to put this into words.
I like that, but did you see my regional rivals?
Yes, I did.
Layout?
I like it.
I thought that would be a fun thing if we did that. It would be this. If you did NFC-AFC rivalry week, Dallas and Houston would play the Queso Bowl. Philly and Pittsburgh would play the Steagles Bowl. They teamed up famously in WW2 and became the Steagles for, I think, 3 years, 2 years. Atlanta and Jacksonville off of the their junior varsity, Georgia and Florida playing every year, the Outdoor Cocktail Bowl. Tampa and Miami would be the Oranger Bowl. Detroit and Cleveland, the Rust Bowl. Washington and Baltimore, the Beltway Bowl. Rams and Chargers, the Hollywood Bowl. Giants, Jets, the Apple Bowl. Raiders and Niners, the Bread Bowl. Bears and Colts, the I-65 Bowl. The Saints and Titans, the SEC Bowl, obviously, that part of the world. Carolina and KC, the Barbecue Bowl. But then you kind of run out of steam a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, I think that would be grand. Can you talk to the commission about that one?
Sure.
Will you?
Yeah.
because I think that would really be fun. All right. Handsome.
Sorry, I took that off topic. What was your question? Oh, yeah, my teams. The Miami Dolphins would not make it in the AFC East. Bengals, I think I said.
You said Bengals. Jags.
In the North, rather. The Jags in the South.
Correct.
The Raiders in the West.
You did not have the Raiders.
Who did I have?
You had the Bucks, the Dolphins. The Dolphins, you said, worst in the NFL. Bucks, Cardinals, Bengals, Redskins, and Jaguars.
But then I went beyond that, I think, after that. Okay. I think I said then one for every division.
I'm just going based off our friend Andrew Raby's with DDFB.
Okay. Right well, and Raby's always right.
Yeah.
Raby's never.
Raby keeps track of it. Yeah.
Raby's.
He has all mine now.
Apart from that one time where I had to call him out for getting all my picks.
He actually hasn't updated because, Shaq, you added the Lions, right? Or am I wrong?
I have not added the Lions.
Who did
You added the Jaguars and one more team.
Oh, I did add another one?
You had a second one.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to go through some right now for you. Ready?
I could track it down.
We're ready. Let's hear it.
And Spaghetti went extra bold. He did 13. If you come anywhere, what should his prize be if he gets even to double digits with that?
Oh, I think I'm double digits with that.
I'll tell you what. I mean, it's
there's no chance you can get the double digits.
We've delivered some confetti into the studio. I think throwing some confetti onto the controllers out there would probably bring the whole podcast studio to its knees.
Yeah. I'd like that very much. Hey, I was watching. Did I tell you guys I was watching Star Wars the other day?
No.
And my kids quickly lost interest in it, but they weren't as engaged as I was, and I found myself sitting there. I didn't realize they'd left the room for about 15 minutes. But I was watching the scene where Han Solo, and Luke Skywalker, they could try to go get Princess Leia, from that one part in the Death Star. And by the way, you've seen the trailer for Mandalorian?
I have, yeah.
Oh, it looks good, right?
It does look good.
It's not Boba Fett, though.
Well, wait, no, hang on. I haven't seen that. I've seen the trailer for the updated trailer for the new Star Wars movie.
That also is exciting. But it's weird. If you do watch it with clean eyes, more mature eyes, you can kind of, unfortunately, pick Star Wars apart. You know, I always thought, you're being a cynic. It's a pretty fun movie. Just sit back and enjoy it. There are some things that are distractingly weird about it. They walk in, so they bring in Chewbacca as though they've got him as their prisoner, and that's how they gain entry into that one little place where Princess Leia is being kept.
Sure.
And then they get themselves into a shootout with the stormtroopers and everything, and then they're like, we got to get out of here now that we have Princess Leia. And so she's like, I know what we'll do, and she blasts a hole in the little wall, and then they jump into the well and they fall down into the trash compactor there, and then they have a whole new can of worms, or a giant worm chasing them.
In the
dirty water of the trash compactor. How come the stormtroopers were left with nothing to do at that point? Like, she shot a hole in the wall. They jumped down into it. It probably goes down about 20 feet. They would have died.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Right. Why couldn't they just be like, oh, yeah, they're in the hole now. End of the rebel.
That's a good point.
Why didn't they do any? What happened there? And then they're like, and then also the time's way off too, because Solo gets down there and he shoots at the thing and like, I already tried that. Well, you dummy, you're going to get us all killed. Like, I jumped literally a second and a half after you.
Right.
How did all this go down while I was upstairs? But why the stormtroopers were just like, well, I guess they got away.
I don't think stormtroopers are necessarily the world's most or the universe's most intelligent people.
I guess they're kind of just there to follow
a little
order.
Droney.
I know, but to kind of throw their hands in the air a little bit weird. Spaghetti, are you napping? Have you ever seen Star Wars? Have we talked about it?
Yes, and
you love Star Wars.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Surprisingly,
very excited for The Mandalorian. I love Jon Favreau, so I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, that looks great.
I like
great.
Favreau.
He's
good
awesome.
He's awesome, isn't he?
Chef show.
Chef is so good.
He directed a lot of Marvel movies. Yeah. He's in...
Shaft is really good?
Chef.
Oh.
Chef with
you ever seen that
Roy
movie?
Troy.
The movie. Oh, it's so... I mean, the awesome. Show, but the movie is fantastic.
Huh.
No. Great music score.
They go to Austin. They go to Franklin's Barbecue in Austin. They do the Kogi tacos out here in L.A. It's awesome. He's just like a very likable guy.
Yes, he is. I like him.
Yeah.
Dave, let's talk about which teams you don't think are going to be able to.
You ready? Cincinnati was the second one you added.
Oh, I did add Cincinnati. Okay, good. All right, there we go. So we'll put them down. All right, here we go. Your half dozen teams, I'm sad to say, before things even kick off, you have no chance of going to the playoffs per my list. Here is here's the good news for you. Last year, out of the seven I named, three ended up making the playoffs. So
there you go.
So that's the silver.
But you're a risky guy. You take risks. Unlike me, where I just apparently went chalk and chose the worst teams in each division. So I can't wait to hear these because you're going to.
All right, let's start off. Start off hot. Here we go. The first team. I'm sorry. Jacksonville Jaguars. You're not going to the playoffs. No playoffs for you. Maybe I should have rethought this after the Andrew Luck news. Now stories emerging about what Leonard Fournette has done to get himself right for 2019. Easy to get seduced by that. But I'm going to stay with the Jags just because I don't buy Nick Foles outside of that Eagles uniform until we see a reason otherwise. Next up, let's stay in the state of Florida. I'm sorry, Miami Dolphins. No playoffs for you. That's the only one I think that universally people would sign off on. Do you think, though, that are you anxious for it to be Josh Rosen, or will you be miffed at Flores and company if they don't roll with Josh Rosen this year?
No, well, I think I said it to you a couple of weeks ago. I want them to I think Flores' position has been I want to create competition on this team. And so I think it would be weird for him to give Josh Rosen the starting job if he hasn't won it. So if he thinks that Ryan Fitzpatrick has won the starting job, then Ryan Fitzpatrick should start the season off. I don't think it'll last more than 3 or 4 weeks, and then he should throw Josh Rosen in. A bunch of people are like, oh, if you don't give him 16 games, then you can't evaluate him properly. It's like, well, 12 games of Josh Rosen, you can, you know, 12 games, 16 games, is the same deal.
How do you react to a couple of days ago with Matt Money Smith and Spaghetti there? We were talking about the upcoming trades, of which I think we will see at least two splashy ones before the season gets going here. As we were talking, we said, oh, watch, as we're doing this, somebody just got traded and we'll find out about it after the fact. Well, that didn't happen, but then we did emerge to find out that Jadeveon Clowney was interested, or at least meeting with the Dolphins. It sounds like
it was the other way around. I think the Dolphins are interested in Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, he did meet with them,
but I think given that, you know, whenever you hear a trade rumor in the NFL, it normally is followed up very quickly with, and then the trade happened. The fact that there's been smoke but no fire probably means that Jadeveon Clowney decided he wasn't that interested in the Dolphins.
The fear for me is that it's going to swing, not fear, I don't have existential fear of such as that, but if Jadeveon Clowney, is there a piece in line with Khalil Mack that can really make that big an impact of the names that we're hearing? Trent Williams. I still am waiting to see Shady McCoy move. I wouldn't be stunned if Melvin Gordon moved.
I think if Clowney went to a team that's all they're missing. So if he went to the Eagles or Seahawks, which are the two other teams that, maybe less the Seahawks, but the Eagles, that are the two other teams that have been mentioned for him, then that to me is like, you suddenly put a pass rusher of that, or I guess just a good defensive piece, because he's a great run stopper as well, but you put him on a team like the Eagles, then that's like, whoa, that changes the face of that, or makes them even stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I Cleveland doesn't really make sense, but it does feel like you look at those teams that have the ability.
Cleveland definitely does. I mean, they've already got Olivier Vernon and obviously Myles Garrett. I don't think that Jadeveon Clowney's not really a thing they're missing.
All right, next up. Let's do the one that I already said. To the AFC North we go. I'm sorry, Cincinnati Bengals. No playoffs for you. Now, were Maurice Jones-Drew here, he might defend that Bengals team because he was quite impressed with what they were building. Of course, I'm not accusing him of bias, but perhaps he is responding to his former Rams pal, now the head coach, and maybe he feels like somebody really thinks that's a talented team. It's hard to figure out the path.
Maurice also loves Joe Mixon.
he does love Joe Mixon.
He's a big, big Joe Mixon fan.
The way I do it is, and then obviously I'm wrong about it, you know, almost as often as I'm right about these when I do this annually, of the teams not going to the playoffs, is what's their path to get past the other teams in that division?
That's because exactly.
It turns out they really miss Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. They are a losing team there. Okay. Are the Browns also a failure to the degree that they're not going to win? If the Steelers are lousy, that the Browns aren't going to be able to scratch out 10 wins there. Mm-hmm. And then the curveball Ravens, is that experiment going to fail? I guess you can kind of conjure a path that if all three of those are...
You don't have to talk yourself into
that. Okay, I'm just trying to think about it to see where to try and figure this out. I already named the Jags. AFC South... completely thrown out of the whack by the Andrew Luck retirement. I'm not looking at Indianapolis, though. No, Tennessee Titans. No playoffs for you. I don't like, you can see the gathering storm from states away. I can see it across football America from here. This Mariota Tannehill thing is going to be a factor. Marcus Mariota does not strike me as the sort of, based on the things of talking to people around there. First of all, we always lament. In fact, the two guys, Tannehill and Mariota, are two guys who they always say, these guys, they want to get out and run, but you got to turn them into pocket passers. Mariota and Tannehill both don't want to run. They like it in the pocket.
Right.
They think it's safer. They don't like
definitely
being out there.
It hasn't been safer for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I think no one's been sacked more over the last, whatever, seven
years.
Yeah,
Tannehill is still... obviously, pedigree-wise, a talented guy, and he wasn't a complete flame out in Miami.
He'll start more games this season than Marcus Mariota.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Well, that's a mess. That's no good.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
When you have two lesser starting quarterbacks,
yeah,
that doesn't add up.
That means you've got none.
I've heard some cliche around that one. Two, I don't buy Derrick Henry game in and game out. The savior there, they do seem like they've given them a collection of pass catchers at least, and the defense should be very good. But by the time Lawan gets back, that's a major absence for them. And if you look at their first four games, they go at the Browns. Is that a win? Probably not. Indianapolis, a telling game for mm-hmm. both sides there. At Jacksonville and then at Atlanta. That's a bad spot. That's a bad opening.
That's
to the
not
season.
That bad. I mean, there are certainly teams with worse. I don't disagree with you. I think throwing the Titans in is probably a relatively safe bet, but I wouldn't say the opening of the season.
And yet, ironic, because again, we perceive the Titans to be. I hope Titans fans aren't offended by this, but as I always say, I feel like they feel irrelevant in our minds. We don't consider them.
I wouldn't even say in our minds.
All right, but they were in the playoffs last year, 2 years ago, and won a game. And had they beaten the Colts in Week 17, they would have been in the playoffs again. I don't think there's a team that has that recent history that we sleep on more than the Titans.
To me, at least, the reason is that they look like the team that's playing in the TV screen in the back of a movie. That when they can't use NFL branded,
it's the uniforms. Content. I'm kind of with you.
What is this? XFL team? What are we looking at here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not crazy. And by the way, I already mentioned the Jags, but here's their rugged open. They go KC at Houston, then that Tennessee game at Denver. That's going to be. I wouldn't be stunned if that team is halfway decent too. At Carolina,
so you're no playoffing the Jags.
At Carolina
at
the Saints. And yes, did I have to make it official?
The Jags are your first team you did 2 weeks ago.
Okay, Jacksonville Jaguars. I just gave you the reason
Bengals.
Why. No playoffs for you. And then on the next up to our nation's capital we go. I resent Jay Gruden for trying to play it safe and doing the exact opposite. The safer bet is to take the more talented, fresh kid who can sling it around a little bit, not the old man, Case Keenum, who's already proven what his ceiling is. And for myriad other issues, the mess with Trent Williams, maybe they'll wind up with Jadeveon Clowney. I also think they have some smallish trade bait, and I wonder if the Texans have also reached out about one Adrian Peterson, future Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. That would make a ton of sense if they could get a guy like that. That's what they're missing too, and that would make me feel better about the Texans, because Duke Johnson's their running back, and behind Duke Johnson, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing besides Duke Johnson in Houston right now.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins trade that you mentioned, I think Kenyon Drake is if it does go ahead, is a big part of that switch.
But that being said, I'm sorry, Skins. No playoffs for you. This one hurts me because I'd love to stick my neck out on this. I do believe that a head coach can be transformative. People love to scoff at these. Oh, you're picking that. You think that team's going to be good? Like, yeah, how many examples do we need of a team being crummy one year? The Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay example, and maybe this is ageism on part of football fans out there, but Bruce Arians has gone into two tough spots in his last two stops and turn those teams around. Yes, Chuck Pagano deserves a lot of credit for the Colts, but reminder, it's when Pagano stepped away that the Colts really caught fire under Arians and went on that playoff push. Then he goes down to Arizona to be the head man, and look at how he transformed them. And by the way, well, but they're still limited by the talent and everything else. He did it with Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer had many down seasons, as many as he had up seasons there. I think it's not implausible that the Buccaneers could be good. But then I look at the divisional competition.
The division is the problem. Again, you spelled it out. Like, is that team, does it have a chance to be good? Yes. But if it's going to play six games against those teams, against the Saints, against the Panthers, against the Falcons, even if it wins a couple of those, that's just going to put them in a tough spot.
Barring injuries, though, Drew Brees is still old, and this idea that Tom Brady is doing it so other guys will have the bars now moved. Speaking of a conversation we had with David Carr a month or so ago, is he going to be a trailblazer in that regard? Now we see quarterbacks now, Andrew Luck notwithstanding, are we about to see an era of quarterbacks? Oh, yeah, you play until you're 42, change those expectations. It used to be 36-ish. It was like, all right, he's pretty much used up. Are those expectations now wide? I don't know. Drew Brees looked downright poor in long stretches in games in December and January. If he stinks, or not stinks, sorry, not going to stink, but still.
Would not be a surprise to see. Like last year, he slid, let's say, in week 14. I remember like that Thanksgiving Day game, things started to look like, oh, hold on a second. Drew Brees doesn't look like he looked like a month ago. That was week 12 or whatever. He's a year older. What happens if it's week 8 this year that things, you know, his shoulder starts going downhill, his legs, he maybe loses his legs a little bit, and then he gets worse. That's the way it goes.
If I
was Bill Brinson, and I'm, you know, if he hadn't hung up on you, I would have said, Breeze probably, if I was ranking the quarterbacks in that division, I'd say Breeze is three.
Three?
Three.
Wow. So you're confident in Cam then?
Well, that's the question mark.
Well, I think that Matt Ryan is on track for nothing less than an MVP type season.
Ryan would be number one for me.
They must get that offensive line right. The pieces haven't been together in August, which is fine as long as they're out there for the regular season. But Matt Ryan is not somebody who will deal well with constant pressure. If they resolve that, though, with Dan Quinn's defense and Devonta Freeman now back and the gaggle of pass catchers, this is a team that will challenge the Eagles and probably the Vikings, I think, for NFC supremacy as the Niners make their playoff push. And I'll say that one right now. Here we go. Arizona Cardinals. This is another one that hurts me. But no playoffs for you. I just don't see the path with the Seahawks and the NFC, the defending NFC champs, and the rising
like the
of the Niners. Yeah, I just there's not a path. They will be splashy and fun, and I do think go get those offensive pieces for your fantasy team, but I don't think it equals ultimately a playoff spot for that team. So I got around that. Did I sing for the Bucks already?
No.
All right. Sorry, Bruce Arians. I could really go Lions here. you know what? I'm going to go the extra mile this year. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it up to 8.
Yeah, we need to talk after this because this is there's something going on here.
What?
On Tuesday, I sat here whenever it was, and you were like, "Ah, Hank, he just went.
I did do some.
He just went for the chalk, and then you've just picked the exact same teams.
Did I really literally take the same teams? All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no playoffs for you. And Detroit Lions, no playoffs for you. Those are the 8.
That's close to my list, too.
Right, what do you say back to me? Like, at least an apology.
You know what? When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Like, we're back. And
what I'm looking for is...
But maybe I'll be right here, and then we'll both be right. What about that possibility?
That's a good thing, but I want one of those ones where Dave is like, hey, you know what? The New England Patriots. I mean, not that you would do that, but just something like that. That's what I was... I came in, I literally swooped down from ups. I canceled everything because I knew Dave was going to no playoffs for you stuff, and you repeated back my list to me. I've just sat here listening for 40 minutes while you tell me what I already told you.
What would be a bolder one? What would be a bolder one for me to go with? What would be... What's one that's like kind of on the cusp?
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but basically anything other than what you just did.
I gave Denver, San Francisco, Cleveland, and both New York... Well, all three New York teams.
That's crazy. That's crazy. You're wrong, though. But I mean, like...
Which of those teams...
Those are bold, but they're wrong, too.
Which of those teams you have the most confidence in? The Browns? The Browns are in a tough division. So it's like...
I buy Cleveland, yeah.
I buy Cleveland out of all those ones.
It's very hard for me. Hard for me to
and
make
the... And the Niners I would buy over... It's not that I really like the Niners, but I wouldn't rule it out.
The Jets have a shot at the wild card, but I don't know. I think the Bills have... the Browns have two other really good teams in the North. Besides that, I don't really care about... I mean, the Broncos are in the AFC West, but the teams in the AFC West are probably the two best teams in the AFC or close to it. So, I don't know. I'm pretty confident with my list. I think I could hit 10.
What about... What if I went... I mean, this would be pretty bold. What if I went with the Los Angeles Rams?
Now, see, that... Then all of a sudden, I'd be like, okay, Dave's, you know, you'd be more of a man to me.
It's wrong, but it's good. It's a good take. I mean,
I could see...
I don't think it's crazy.
I could see the path to it. The Super Bowl hangover plus lost some pieces.
Right.
Plus, you know...
Now, Maurice will tell you the offensive line should actually be a little bit better. Hey, now, the offensive line's going to be better without JT Sullivan.
Right.
That's going to be a... I don't know. All right. We'll see about that. And then the major factor is Todd Gurley. Everything is predicated. We've talked about it since the Super Bowl that the Rams are built around, or Sean McVay is built around, that play action. If the defense isn't scared of Todd Gurley making hay, then now it's really going to be all on 16. Are we sure that Goff is going to rise to that occasion? Are we 100% sure?
I think so.
And as things start to get, and if he has a bad game or two bad games, and then in the press it's there, all the talk is like, see, that Super Bowl against the Patriots, that was the canary in the coal mine, and we should have recognized that in the moment that this team was in a little bit of trouble, and now Jared Goff's not worth a big $100 million extension, and if that starts to happen, then bad news. Something up here.
I don't know. I gotta look up. Make that. I just think. Todd Gurley's numbers in half, and you cut him to you know 8-9 touchdowns and around 600 yards. You add in Darrell Henderson. You have Malcolm Brown. They could add another 400 or 500 yards. You know, total between them. I mean, you could still get it's a 1,000-yard backfield. I don't think it's a problem.
Here's the problem.
Cooper Kupp's healthy again.
The way how you can talk yourself into a negative spot with almost any team is by looking at their first six games or so. The Rams go at Carolina.
I think they're going to win that game.
That could definitely be a loss. Absolutely be a loss.
Cross country, that's a tough one.
Then they host the Saints.
They're going to win that. Mm-hmm.
Then they're at Cleveland.
They're going to win that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I didn't realize they're going to win all these games. So
I think they were better than all those. I still think they're that good. I think that the offense is just that good. You have three receivers who could be ones on some teams.
No Ndamukong Suh. I don't know if that's really, a factor.
He took half the year off. I don't know. I think they'll be
then
all right.
They host the Bucs, and they're at Seattle, who played them tough a year ago.
Yeah.
Then they play the Niners at home. Then they're at Atlanta.
That's the first one I'd pencil as a hard loss.
I mean, but also you've got to factor in, again, to Dave's point about in the division, if we do believe, and you've got to imagine the Niners are going to be better than they were, the Seahawks are about the same, and they always play them tough. The Cardinals are going to be better than they were. You know, it's not going to be as good as last year. I think it's a big risk. Dave, you haven't sung yet. Are you going to sing?
You had a really nice run in 2018, but 2019 is a different year, not just on the calendar, but in football terms, too. I'm sorry, Los Angeles Rams. No playoffs for you. That's a crazy one. I don't feel good about that one.
Well,
but I did.
I mean, there's no. You don't need to do. I'm not forcing you to do it.
I know. I just don't. I can't. I'm not 100% sold on the Niners. I have a feeling about that team. And then the Seahawks are the other one. But then, we like the Vikings, yeah. Packers, and Bears, and we like the Cowboys and Eagles, and we like the Saints and Panthers and Falcons well enough that, yeah, that's, you know.
If I had done one with a little bit more
pizzazz
behind it in the NFC West, I'd have said the Seahawks. But I think it's great that you went with the Rams.
I went even bigger. Yep. I went even bigger.
It's on the record.
Prove me wrong, Jared Goff. How long we gone here?
You want to make a guess?
28 minutes.
28 minutes, yeah. I wish.
Really?
You're more than double that. Well, close.
What?
It's 55 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Outrageous. Handsome, you've done it again. I thought we might not even have a show, and now we've done this. The question is,
Bill Brinson hung up on you.
I like you to be honest, though. Give it a letter grade.
I think of it as a B+.
A B plus show?
Yeah.
You guys hit pretty major NFL topics. So
we had some good conversation.
Yeah,
that was good. What I really like is we've been able to talk about football.
I know. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, if you like hearing me talk about football, I'm starting up my new another football show in which I'll be kibitzing.
Cool. Do you have a good-looking sidekick?
I don't yet. That spot's open. You know, you want to make the drive over there, handsome. I don't know. I don't know how that would go over on your...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping I might get paid for one of them.
they don't have a rider in your NFL contract, like a little dispensation or whatever for bothering to join us here in Studio 66.
No, well, nothing. Eddie once brought me a bottle of water.
You have my undying appreciation.
Hey, I tell you what. In fact, instead of doing that, can I? This would for today's special episode and swooping down to save you after Bill Brinson hung up on you. Mm-hmm. Can I promote, we've been producing internationally a series, which I love every year, called Game Recognized Game, where we get soccer players, like big-time soccer players and NFL players together, and we do some little challenges together. Yesterday we released one with Real Madrid, biggest soccer team in the world, and two of their biggest players, Sergio Ramos and Luka Modric. Along with some Redskins players, Josh Norman and Landon Collins. Today we did one with a couple Seahawks rookies, including the muscly DK Metcalf, and then a guy called Mario Götze from Borussia Dortmund. And then actually we just talked about Jared Goff is in one tomorrow we're releasing with some players from Arsenal. Then we got one with Bayern Munich coming up next week and Chivas, a Mexico team. And we had Cam Jordan with the Bayern Munich ones. They're pretty cool. Look them up. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter. Good for you, handsome. Twitter. Doing gangbusters
game
work.
Game, recognize game.
Do you think that the NFL will overtake any individual league in popularity outside of the U.S. in the next decade?
Sure. Yeah, it's happening already.
You do.
We're moving. You mean like indigenous?
I mean, I don't know how you would. Yeah, I don't know how you would exactly measure
beyond
television ratings.
Yep.
But yeah, the NFL's creeping up on the Premier League.
Sure. Well, I mean, not those soccer leagues that are like clear number ones, but you know, in a lot of those countries, you know, the second, third, fourth, fifth spots are kind of open and change, and you know, Formula One racing or whatever fits in there, and we definitely feel like we can. Overtake.
How important is it to you, or is there a push on some level? I imagine I'm fairly certain that I've read and talked with you and whomever else about this. Is there an expectation that the rest of the world will start to provide more and more football players? I mean, but
it's
I don't mean
again, it's happening.
I know it's happening
as we speak.
But I mean, do you think there will be an influx on the level of the NHL or even the NBA over the last 20 years that all of a sudden that, you know, 20% of NFL rosters will have international guys?
Without wanting, I mean, I guess there's a. You can I don't know enough about either of those two sports to speak, but I'll say it anyway because why not? Like, for basketball, that you're just looking for some tall people, right? You like that's one of the things that has to happen. If you're a tall guy in Greece or Spain, you got a pretty good shot of becoming you're going to be picked to go play basketball, and basketball is a sport that's played there a lot, right? So that's going to give you a head start. If you can skate on ice and you like that kind of thing, sure, go play hockey. Whatever, I don't care.
So it's youth football.
But what I mean is, youth football doesn't exist as broadly internationally. And then, you know, learning this. So you've got to have that, then a combination of being a great athlete. And also, you know, kids here who play football, they get in the gym and do the you know, weights and all that kind of stuff, which for most European sports, for soccer or most of those sports, isn't really emphasized in any meaningful way. So there's catch up. There's a lot of catch up.
Makes perfect sense to me, although it is bizarre to me that given how many kids play soccer, that the U.S. men continue to lag so far behind the rest of the world.
I think it's just because that's not then you're talking about the top 10% of all athletes.
What are they choosing to play? Like we've talked about.
Then they go choose something else.
We had that conversation a year ago. If we were to just from the NFL, or actually, okay, take the other sport. If you said Mike Trout, Saquon Barkley, and LeBron James, you guys forget about whatever your sports were. We're getting you in a time machine when you're 6 years old and you're going to start playing soccer instead. I would think that the U.S. would be the most dominant soccer team in the world with that. Their just focus is elsewhere. So this is flipping it in the other direction in favor of football to blend in with, I don't know what people do in other parts of the world besides soccer and basketball. Team handball.
Handball's big one in Germany.
I love
rugby.
That game looks like the most of all, of all the Olympic sports that I've never done that I'd like to play once is team Fast. Handball. Looks so fun. Also, I'd like to do the one where you push the thing on the ice. What's that?
You'd
one
be good
again?
At that.
I would be good.
Shuffling,
curling,
curling. Right. We didn't talk about Carly Lloyd kicking it though, Handsome. What do you think about that?
Is she actually going to kick it in a game tonight? I heard the.
Is that a novelty or is it like? Oh, she's going to be in a game. I thought she was.
Apparently some team offered for her to play in the final preseason game. But I guess we would know.
I haven't seen anything on Twitter about that. I just saw like the reaction to her saying that she would do it.
It is very strange that in 2019 that people go out of their way to volunteer what, no matter how you intend it to play, it's going to play as misogyny. If somebody wants to do that, then let them go out and try and do that.
Like Keenan Allen's tweet was probably the poster for that.
It's just a weird bit to involve yourself in that, as though, you know, the ongoing narcissism of the 21st century is, well, it's an issue, ergo I must provide an opinion to the world, solicited or otherwise. Of course, if people want to go do that, let them go try it. The nonsense about tackling is a weird one to float out. I'm just worried about her. Yeah, were you worried about the Grammatica boys when they were out doing it?
Like every, 95% of kickers, I'd be worried about tackling.
Although I will say that 21st century kickers are bigger than their
forefathers. There were guys in 20 years ago that actually went out and kicked without one of their shoes on. You think they wanted to tackle anyone?
That, you know what? That's the best point I've heard so far about it. We put barefoot people out there.
We put a guy with just one shoe on. Like if someone treads on your foot, an offensive lineman, you think I'm making a tackle without
any
shoes on? Get me out of there.
It's a fine point. Thanks. Now, barefoot women kickers, that's where I put my foot shoed foot down.
Please also do not bare your feet.
I never would do that. I wouldn't do that.
I know.
You see me at the wedding? You see any of them wedding pictures we took? I wore my sneaks.
You're wearing sneakers.
I know.
On the sand?
On the beach.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't like sneakers on the beach.
I didn't want to either, but then I didn't take them off and we were under.
Hot, and then the sand gets in the shoe. Hot, sweaty, sandy feet.
I didn't want, I meant to take them off, but then all of a sudden the wedding started before I realized it. And then it was like, now I got my sneakers on. And then we're taking pictures. And now for the rest of my life,
well, now you know how we feel. The wedding starting without you realizing. You went off and got married and didn't tell anyone.
It's what's called eloping, Handsome. Yep. That's exciting. All right, listen. So go check out Handsome's videos. How do you track
game
those down?
Game recognized game.
Game recognized
game. Hashtag
game
recognized game. Just go look for that. You'll find
with
it.
With Kay Adams, right?
Kay's in one of them. MJ Acosta did a couple of them. And then the great Kirsten Watson, who's an up-and-coming rising star hosted one of them as well.
Excellent. All right, go check all those out. And, you know, by the time we speak next, it'll be the first week of the regular season in the NFL. We'll have a pick for you on the Bears and Packers. Before we go, though, just in case you don't hear our early podcast next week, Handsome Hank's going to tell us who's going to win that season kickoff game right now.
The Bears.
The Bears are going to win it. All right.
The Chicago
Spaghetti?
Bears are.
Who do you got?
It's Bears Packers, right?
Yep. Come on, Eddie.
Oh, I'm just confirming. I like the Bears a lot this season. So, yeah, Bears.
You like the Bears a lot?
I like Mitch. I like what he could do. Maybe more in a fantasy terms. I like their backfield. I like they added Montgomery. I think Trey Burton's actually going to be a sneaky, really good tight end. So, I mean, the defense is what it is. It's going to be great. So, yeah, that's my quick.
I mean, then you start talking about it, and then you're like, well, but what about the Packers? And then you start talking.
They don't do it for me. I don't like their backfield. I think that they still don't have a clear-cut number two receiver. And, like, Jimmy Graham is, like, how old is Jimmy Graham?
I think you're kind of right. Yeah. Should I change the Rams to the Packers?
I think so. They got rid of Mike Daniels, too. It's like, I don't know.
Now, see, I feel like
the Packers are not going to the playoffs either. I'll support you on that.
Yeah, Andrew Raby should add it to
his feelings right there.
Andrew Raby should add it to my. I don't think I put the Packers, but I want him to add it to my DDFP red flag.
You're going
to
go up to 14.
14, yeah, let's do it.
Wow. Yeah. So
Eddie,
great.
No, and you've accidentally.
By the way, all
my teams.
You
accidentally predicted the playoffs.
All the teams you guys set. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, at this point, you might as well just tell us who is going to be in the playoffs.
Probably.
You know what, though? Save some of your praise for the courage that Andrew Luck showed last weekend and give it up for Eddie Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Now made it up to 14 teams that he knows are not going to the playoffs. Impressive, but I'm kind of with you on the Packers. All right, so that's it, Handsome Hank. Have you said everything you need to say here?
I'm done. Thank
all
you
right,
very
me
much.
Me too. And for Eddie Spaghetti, we'll get Will Brinson.
Will Brinson owes us a drink.
All right, maybe we'll see him at a Super Bowl or something
better
like that.
When we stepped in here.
No, he suffered
saved
with
his
us.
Blushes.
He sat here for a half an hour while we tried to resolve the audio issues, and then we had to scrap it, unfortunately. But anyway, like I say, football action, picks, and season predictions, all that. Till then, thin slice of heaven. Oh, I didn't get it. You got to let me do it
again.
All right. So.
Game recognized game.
Game recognizes game.
Will Brinson knows Hank a drink.
Will Brinson. Next week, Mina Kimes is coming into Studio 66.
It's NFL kickoff.
That'll be great. And NFL kickoff, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears to get you started in week one, NFL 2019. Oh, it's a thin slice of heaven. Nice.
That was perfect.